content.
Love Line may contain sexually oriented content.
Listener discretion is advised.
Listener discretion is advised.
Love Line. 1-800-LOVE-191.
Love Line starts now.
Hey, everybody, I'm Dr. Drew, and this is Loveline. The phone number here is 1-800-LOVE-191. In studio tonight, Shayna Mochler. You know her from Meet the Barkers, which airs on MTV. Check your local listings or go to MTV.com for showtimes. Shayna, welcome.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
It was April 2005 last time you were here.
So yes.
About a year ago. A year ago. So that's what we figured.
With my man.
And Ryan, how's Travis doing?
He's doing really good. He's in the studio.
Oh, really?
Yes.
With which project?
He's doing a couple projects. He's doing stuff with Paul Wall. He's doing Plus 44 with Mark Hoppus. And then he's just making some of his own beats and stuff. So I don't know what he's doing right now tonight, but he's in the studio.
I just saw an episode with you guys where you bought him a car.
Yeah.
You still have the car?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
You seem pretty happy about that.
Yeah, he showed me on the website. He said, if I could have anything in the world, I would want this car. It's my dream car. And it was his 30th birthday. And so it was a big, big ordeal. It was cool.
And you just bought him a car.
I got him a car. He spoils me pretty good.
Spoils you?
Yeah, he spoils me bad. So this was kind of like my opportunity to do something really sweet and over the top. It was definitely over the top. It's not something we're doing every year, but
does he still drive it? Or is it kind of on a block somewhere?
It's parked in our garage, and it's a beautiful 1976. It's called the El Conquistador, and it's not really something you drive. It's something that you park
in. Collector's item.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
And you guys have two children now?
We have three.
Three.
Yes,
okay.
I have Altiana. She's six, and then we have a little boy, Landon, who's two, and then I just had Alabama 7 weeks ago.
Oh my God!
Yeah, she's beautiful. I love her.
I mean, you look fantastic for seven
Thank
weeks
you.
Postpartum.
I have a lot of weight to lose.
But more than that, that's a very stressful time. Are you still going full throttle with the show and everything right now?
The show just wrapped. We just had our finale, but they're doing some marathons and stuff.
Did you film all the way through the pregnancy and the delivery and all that stuff?
We filmed all the way through the pregnancy, and sadly, there was a law that was passed that. They didn't allow the cameras into the delivery room. We would have allowed it, but they didn't allow it. There was a new law. But
and this was what they call a normal spontaneous vaginal delivery, or was
no? I had a C-section. I had a planned C-section. It's my third C-section.
Yeah. Nice.
And my first daughter was breached. That's why
my gynecologist friends call the vaginal preservation society.
Yes,
because
Travis is happy.
Well, no, forget Travis. In 30 years, you will be happy.
Yeah,
believe
I am.
Me, when you're continent
happy.
Of urine and stool. You're not having vaginal prolapse.
All the pushing,
Tell me. I mean, it makes a lot of sense for later on. And so the baby's good?
The baby is beautiful. She's waking up like every 3 hours, so we're a little tired in the barker. No, I'm not.
I
chose not to.
That'd be impossible. Yeah. It's just impossible.
It's really hard.
Yeah.
And I totally celebrate all the women who choose to do it.
Oh, absolutely. But it's a personal choice.
Yeah.
It's very difficult. And so are you full throttle career-wise in spite of...
Yeah, so this is what I'm doing now. I'm just going out there and auditioning and trying to get to do what I love to do. So
now you can see Shayna opposite Martin Lawrence in Big Mama's House 2, which my kids are dying to go see, by the way.
It's so fun.
I heard it's very good.
I wish I had a bigger part in it. It was so much fun.
And is that mostly where you want to be in film?
Yeah, I love film. I love TV. I love comedy. So, I enjoy it.
Anything else upcoming?
Not right now. Right now it's just pilot season, so I'm just beating the street and trying to get back out there. I get to do what I love to do 5 minutes a day.
I saw an episode, right. I saw an episode where you wrote your own show, or you wrote a pilot or something?
Yeah, we wrote a pilot called Prescriptions. It was really fun. It was a cool experience. I got to learn a whole lot, on the other side, because I was pregnant and I couldn't work, but I still wanted to do things that were creative and fun, and so we did that. And we're going to try to shop it around, but, it'll be interesting. It's a whole different world.
Did the reality show help that get sort of pulled off?
A little bit. Not really. I mean, I can't say, reality television does too much.
Really? Is that right? I don't mean so much that it elevated you to a position where you could, but did the fact that people knew that you were going to be filming sort of a Project Greenlight version of a
Yeah, I pilot, think there's definitely a lot of people out there and fans out there who are curious to even just see it,
Right.
So it would be really exciting because we kind of have a little fan base that would be into it. So
and
it,
you had an airing of it somewhere. Where was that?
We had it at I think it was the Gig.
Is that a normal thing?
Absolutely. Yeah,
okay.
It was really cool, too, what we did, because we kind of had a live production, and it went into the television, so we kind of went back and forth.
Is that often what people do now, or is that just, you just did that?
Yeah, I think a lot of actors, they do showcases. It was like a showcase.
Interesting.
Yeah, so a lot of actors showcase, just to show, showcase.
And if people know, may or may not be aware that Shayna was Miss USA in 1995. Tell me, to go over what we were just talking about. You crowned
I Allie. Crowned Allie Landry, and that's when Donald Trump
So she followed
it.
You. And he yeah. And I actually judged that in 2000 or 2001, something
I
like that.
I wish you were one of my judges. And that would have been so cool. Yeah,
it would have been fun, but you won. What the hell? How much better could it have been? Right. And you know, you were saying you thought there was a lot of politics involved in the judging.
Yeah.
Which it amazingly, I was telling Shayna, I had dinner with Donald Trump and Martha Stewart that night, and no one discussed anything about the judging.
That makes me so happy to hear that.
And the next day, they sit you down, and they go, just don't do anything lower than like a 7.5 or an 8, because these are the best in the country, so they shouldn't get lower than that.
Right.
But judge what you feel. Go ahead. Here's a computer. And I'm like, what? How do you? What? Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. And the amazing thing to me was we were like six judges, totally different. You know, Martha Stewart's there,
right.
And the woman that plays the mom, and Everyone Loves Raymond.
Yeah.
And we all judged the same thing. We all came up with basically the same number for each girl, which was weird. Because we're just very instinctive, sort of like, I don't know. I'll pick
you know, and not to discredit any of the judges during my time, but I think Donald has really upped the whole pageant, just the production value of it and the opportunities after. And I think the judges that he gets now are actually a lot of really better people who are just a little higher in the industry. So,
is it still in
so
Gary,
I think they
Indiana?
Know they have a similar vision. Huh?
Is it still in Gary, Indiana?
I think they go to the winner state. Whoever wins, I think they change it every, or the highest bidder or something like that.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's very complicated, the pageant world.
Well, you ready to take some calls? Remember how we do this?
Yeah, I'm excited.
Okay, let's do some. This is, Oh, we had some really good ones. They've dropped off the line, some of them. Let's talk to Stephanie. What's up, Stephanie?
Hello.
Hi, you're on with Shayna Mokler from Meet the Barkers.
Hi.
Hi.
What's happening?
Well, December 29th, I met a police officer, and we've been seeing each other.
You met him, like, while he was out on the beat, or you met him at a party, or what's the deal?
No, I went to the station with my sister, because she was caught driving with her license suspended, so we went to try to get her car back. And I was talking with the officer, and he gave me his phone number, and I called him, and then since then we've been seeing each other.
Didn't that already worry you a little bit? that maybe this was not the most ethical good guy? Somebody that gave you a phone number while he was he in uniform at the time?
Yeah, but
effectively.
Also,
I mean, he was on the job.
I was talking to him about another guy that I was seeing that turned psycho, and my brother wanted me to try to file some kind of harassment report.
I see. So he was going to allegedly help you out with that. Got it.
Yeah,
okay.
But he
all
couldn't
right.
really do anything, but he gave
yeah,
me
of
his
course not.
She couldn't resist a man in uniform.
Yeah, evidently. He couldn't resist whatever. So what's going on now?
Yeah, and well, and also I'm a single mom, so then I thought he was like a nice guy or whatever. So
You know what that is, Stephanie. Here's the syndrome. I don't want to step all over you before you even tell me the story, but the syndrome is I was a single mom. Dad was an abusive a-hole. Now here's the guy that's going to save me, a big strong man, is going to rescue me and make me feel safe. And he turns out magically to be another abusive a-hole. Right, Stephanie? Is that bad about your story?
Yeah.
Oh, shocking. Shocking.
You've done this before, Dr. Drew.
Shocking. So what are we going to do with this guy now?
I don't know. I was doing that people search stuff online today, and I was looking if I could find anything on his last name, because I'd never been to his house and I don't have his home number. Mm-hmm. And he's always, always busy. He's always, always working.
He's married.
And so.
Did you hear what Shayna said? Say it again.
He's married?
Yeah, supposedly he told me that he has two kids that live in San Francisco with his ex-wife, and he goes to visit maybe no more than once a month. For a couple days to see it.
What's the reality? The reality is
that he's married and he lives with his kids and he lied to me.
And a golden retriever.
So here's the deal. Let's go ahead and cut this off and let's not look for you know, the bad boy and then the super good rescuing guy. Let's look for a regular human being who's a male who is going to have a real relationship with you and maybe not so exciting and maybe not so safe. It's just somebody that's a regular person, and maybe you can go forward in life and have a real relationship. How about that?
But what should I do about him?
Cut it off.
Go get away from him.
Do I tell him that I know and be angry with him? Do I have his wife's phone number? And
no, what is that going to get you?
I don't know. My sisters are encouraging me to call her and tell her everything. I have pictures that
I would just tell him, like, you know, this isn't something you want to be a part of, and just move on. I wouldn't even get in the drama.
The best thing for you, Stephanie, is to say, I have pictures. I have your wife's phone number. I'm going to call if you ever call me again.
Yeah. That's
it, period. Just cut it off. And if you do anything else, you are damaging yourself, okay? Okay. All right.
I have a lot of girlfriends who date married men.
Why?
Just because I don't think they know that it can't ever go anywhere. And I think they're afraid to, you know, take that leap. And so they know.
Right. So they know that it's never going to go anywhere.
Right.
So they just it's something that's...
It's like a security issue within themselves or something.
Well, it's also they're in control in a weird way. They know it's never going to be anything out of control. It's never going to go past a certain point.
Right, and they can't get hurt. You know,
they're already left longing. And then those are people who had abandoning dads usually more often than not. And so I call that the Carrie Bradshaw syndrome, because, you know, like the girl from Sex and the City, Carrie Bradshaw, she's always like, Mr. Big, longing, longing. And that's more important than a real thing.
Exactly.
Nick, what's going on? You're on with Shayna Mochler.
Hey, what's up? I'm a huge fan of both you guys. So, yeah. And Shayna, I met Travis this summer at the Warped Tour because I snuck backstage, so I thought that was really awesome.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and, yeah, wow, this, I'm nervous.
I wish I could have been there.
Me too, you're really hot.
Aw, thanks.
I was just wondering how you and Travis, like, managed to keep relationship together while he's on, like, tour so much with, like, all his bands.
Wow, I think a lot of communication. We talk to each other every day.
How much, say, out of... he goes in spurts on tour, yes?
Yes, yeah.
How long will they go for, like 3 months?
The longest would be like 3 months.
Yeah, so it's not horrible, Nick. It's just not...
Right.
It's just... It's not like some of these guys tour 300 days a year.
Yeah, I heard you talking about that a few nights ago.
Yeah, that's not Travis, though, right? He'll do 3 months.
Right, and I'll go out there for a week, or he'll come back for a week.
One of the things that I think... maybe a lot of people have misconceptions about is that younger rock bands without resources, no way.
Yeah.
But you guys are established. And
a Blink tour is a little bit more lavish than a Warped tour.
He can afford to, but neither way, he can afford to kind of bring you guys out and see you. If he needs to see you, you can get together. I mean, it's possible. It's doable.
Right.
While if this was in 1994.
Right. And be a little.
No.
Right. No. Girlfriends aren't allowed on the bus.
on the van.
Right.
The bus.
In the van, right.
Becky, what's happening?
Hi, how are you guys doing?
We're good. You're with Shayna Mochler.
Hi.
Hi. I have a question. Me and my friend have been friends for like 4 years, and on Christmas, we were playing a game called Strip Shot Jenga, and we ended up hooking up, and since then, we haven't really been talking. And
you had a friend. Hold on again. Hold on a second. Friend. Is it male friend? Male friend?
A male friend, yeah.
You end up hooking up. Okay, let me interpret what I just heard. This guy was really into me when he first met me 4 years ago, but I just wanted to be his friend, and he's been waiting.
We weren't really in, like, we were friends for 4 years. Nothing ever happened.
He was really into you from the beginning, and he has been waiting for his moment quietly for 4 years, and finally his moment came around a Jenga game. That's what happened.
That too was like, before that, nothing has ever happened. We never kissed. We hardly ever hugged. We went on vacations together, but he's had girlfriends and stuff like that, and I've had boyfriends.
Becky, I'm just telling you, I know guys, I know a young man. He's been waiting for this moment for 4 years. Finally he had his time. Now it's weird. I don't know why it's weird. You have to ask him. Probably it's weird because he wants to keep going.
Mm-hmm.
And he's afraid to really divulge that to you.
Or do you think he finally got what he wanted and he's out?
That's another possibility. Like,
I don't think that's the whole case. Like, I'm really good friends with his whole family, and he's at boot camp right now, and I've talked to his mom all the time, and she doesn't know any of this has happened. And
refrain, by the way, just refrain from that talk. Just saying. Well, I don't know, Becky. What do you want from us? What's the question?
I was just wondering if you have any suggestions about, like, how we can become, like, friends again without pursuing, like, any more sexual innuendos.
So you don't want to go on further with this?
No.
Ooh.
We just happen to be drunk.
I think that's why he's all shut down. Mm. He kind of senses that. He knows that. Did you say that at the time of the encounter? Like, this can't go after, we can't do this ever again? This, you know, give her that kind of talk?
No.
All right, well, you know, make your intentions clear, and we'll see what he does. He may or may not be able to deal with this. There's really not anything for us to say.
Yeah.
Right?
It's not good when you have to get a girl to do a lot of shots, you know, to just to make out, you know.
This is more than a make out, I suspect.
Yeah, I'm suspecting, but.
All right, Becky, is that it?
Yeah, that was just my question.
Yeah, I think, you know, right? You know what's going on here.
If he's a good friend, I'm sure you can talk to him. And
yeah, but, like, we haven't been talking since, and, like, even then, like, there's that, like, break in between, like, our friendship conversations. Like, even when we do speak, it's, like, nothing.
Yeah, like, I think
I don't know
you
if
may
just,
have
like shutting me out or whatnot.
No, you're not really. I don't know for sure, Becky, because we're not talking to him. But I have a feeling you are so intent on it going the way you want it to go that you're not even leaving the door open for him. The possibility that something more could be here, and that's bumming him out, and he's got to get over that, and that's going to take some time. Well, why can't you be more than friends with this guy?
Just because he's been, like, a good friend to me, and it's nothing that I really intended on.
Yeah,
like,
but yeah, I know you didn't intend.
Because when she kissed him, it's like kissing your brother.
Oh,
it's not
really?
Like,
eesh.
There's no passion.
Yeah, like, we've gone on vacations together. Like, we went on a cruise, and even then, nothing has happened. Like, we didn't even, like, hug, and, like, we never even kissed before this evening.
Yeah, I'm telling you, in his brain, he was afraid to go there for fear of it not going further. Now he got it, and now what's he going to do? I'm just suspecting all that.
Yeah.
We'll see.
All right.
Maybe just one of those weird things where, you know, you went too far and you're still trying to reestablish a friendship. Becky, just a word of advice. You sound a little harsh. a little unemotional about something that I suspect for him is rather emotional.
Uh-huh.
You just want that friendship back, and that's that. I need the friendship. Where'd my friendship go? And his thing is like, hey.
That meant something to me.
Yeah, this is what I've been waiting for 4 years, and that's it? I don't know how to deal with this, okay?
Well, like, he was dating somebody, too, at the point.
I'm just saying, I was waiting for this one for 4 years. And I don't know. We're not him. We have to start to know the details, but I'm highly suspicious that's the deal. Jay, what's up?
Hey, what's up?
No, I'm with Shayna Mokler.
Hey, I'm afraid to tell my family that I want a sex change.
Don't look at me. You're the doctor on this one.
where might your gender land right now?
I am a female.
And you want to go to male?
Yes.
How come?
I was raped when I was 15, and I have no feeling on there whatsoever. And I can't sleep with a guy because it makes me throw up on them. And I've been a tomboy my whole life, and...
Were you sexually abused as a child?
Yeah, by my mom's ex-boyfriend.
Right. So that no feeling below the waist thing is a sign of painful sexual abuse, definitely under the age of 4, usually under the age of 2. So how old were you?
I was 15. He raped me with power tools and all kinds.
Oh, my God. Well, we have to put you on hold there because the S word doesn't... typically go out on national radio. Not typically. So you may hear it all the time.
Clear.
Not on this show. Thank you. So, Jay, refrain from the S and the F word, okay?
Okay, I'm sorry.
Okay. Now, the fact that that was perpetrated against you, again, makes me concerned that something happened when you were younger. So, no? When you were 2, 3, 4 years old?
Kind of.
What happened?
What I don't remember because I was so young, mm-hmm. but I was younger than 1, and my sister saw my real dad fondling me.
Okay. So that's sort of typical, again, painful sexual abuse under the age of 2 is what causes that numbness below the waist, and for whatever reason, God only knows, makes you a great candidate for victimization later. Now, Jay, the victimization was outrageous and painful and unbelievable. Why don't you get treatment for that rather than acting out further? You know what I'm saying? All your impulses are going to be under the influence of this incredible trauma. They're all going to be affected by that. So until that all gets sorted out, you shouldn't be using your brain to make any decisions.
But I have a girlfriend right now that I am madly in love with.
That's fine. You're a lesbian. That's great. You don't have to be a male to be a lesbian. Right?
I have a question. People who desire sex changes, is it something that usually deals with abuse, or is it something that they're born with chemically?
There's debate about that all over the place. And
I have a theory on that. I think
you were abused. So in your case, if indeed, we don't know yet if you really are somebody who has a gender identity disorder because you're a trauma survivor. Until that's sort of...
Well, I know whenever I was in high school, I was diagnosed with... gender confusion.
Okay.
I would think that I was a guy for the longest time, and then I'll think that I'm a girl for the longest time. Right. It went on for months at a time with each way.
Okay. And maybe this is something that you decide to do ultimately. But listen, you're with a lesbian now, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you turn into a male, the probability is she'll leave you because she likes women. So why would you put yourself in that position if you're in a happy lesbian relationship with somebody you love? And I will tell you that many lesbian relationships occur after women have been brutalized by men. I've seen that pattern for sure. And there's an organic piece, and there's a biological piece, and there are other psychological things. But one common thread is brutality issued by men on women, and the women just go, forget this, and they find somebody who cares about them who's a female. And that's what Jay's got here, and that's fine. If she continues to have identity issues, she may lose that lesbian relationship. She may need to solve those identity issues, but I certainly think she's got much, much, much bigger psychiatric issues to deal with in the trauma department.
Have you had any therapy at all, ever?
I never had therapy whatsoever. My girlfriend and my friends have been helping me. My family is very against it. I told them when I was younger that I like girls, and I was disowned. And then I told them that I was kidding and that, you know, I like guys. And then,
We're just asking. We get it, Jay. Just persevering in the same sense. We got the gender identity thing that was young, when you were younger. We also got the trauma stuff. So see, as these things get sorted, you're making a diagnosis now, Jay. You've decided that's the disorder I have, and this is the treatment I'm going to get. No, that's not how it works.
Do doctors even allow sex changes without at least the patient going through some sort of therapy?
I don't think. Not in this country, anyway.
Wow.
Madeline.
Yes.
Hey, what's happening?
Hi. How are you?
Good. You're on with Shayna Mokler from Meet the Barkers.
Oh, hi. I was wondering about the EMDR therapy.
Mm-hmm. Which Jay would be a great candidate for. Which is basically a way of, the previous caller, you may not have heard that one, but it's a kind of therapy where they have people look in sort of a light box and their eyes follow this light, and it puts them through certain kinds of eye movements that tend to improve access to traumatic material. So it's a way of processing through trauma. It's not for everybody. It's something that is controversial in terms of how and when it's used. Do you have some trauma stuff?
Yeah, I do.
What happened?
I've got some stuff built up. My dad used to hit me, and in fourth grade, my uncle hung himself in front of me. And from sixth to eighth grade, my best friend's uncle molested me, and my uncle killed himself. My other uncle killed himself.
Well, except for that, any trauma in your life? I mean, come on. It's Got it. Lots of stuff.
Yeah.
And you've been in therapy?
We call it counseling, and I was hospitalized last year for about 4 months.
Got it. Did they, oh my goodness, 4 months, a long time. Did they recommend EMDR for you?
Well, because I don't like talking. And
okay, so it's a way to try to get you opened up.
Yeah, and they couldn't decide if, because I don't fit one specific disorder. Like, they thought I was bipolar, but I don't fit it, and I went into cutting, and it was bad. And they thought EMDR would help, and I wasn't sure what it was or the success rate or anything about it. I'd never heard of it.
Madeline, you have very profound trauma. You have serious psychiatric illness that have landed you in the hospital for extended periods of time. Why don't you take the advice of professionals and get some help?
I guess so.
Yeah. Who else is going to do it?
I'm just scared.
I know you are, but trust people that know what they're doing. Get somebody good, trust them. In reality, Madeline, the very first and most important hurdle to you getting better is the capacity to ask for help and trust the people that try to offer it. That's it. That is 90%. People talk about the game being all about admitting you have a problem, and if you admit it, that's BS. I mean, everybody goes, I have an alcoholic. Right, anyway, next. Okay, so anyway, and they admit it, and they mean it too. It's like, okay, but I'll deal with it some other time or whatever. They have all kinds of ways of sort of denying the consequences of it, but people freely admit all kinds of disorders these days. That gets people nowhere, basically. And even coming into treatment gets people nowhere. If they don't trust, they don't open up. So the reality is, for people to get well, they must trust other people to help them. And by the way, just allowing that relationship to develop, opens the possibility of healing. Because a lot of the healing that goes on in mental health is really just using other people's brains to heal your own. I mean, that's the simplest way I can describe it.
Right.
And if you don't let those other people's brains offer you some of the things they've been trained to do, you aren't getting better. And then if it, also you don't open to the interpersonal experience, you don't get better.
These two questions are heavy. I'm just letting you do.
All right, good. You know, you're not being
do your magic right there.
You weren't no rape, no uncle killing themselves.
I'm like,
Your thing was all just beauty pageants. That was traumatic enough.
It was traumatic enough.
You grew up in what did I say?
Rhode Island.
What part of Rhode Island?
I was born in Providence. Oh, you know what quahogs are? I'm so impressed.
I've eaten quahogs.
Stuffies, they're so good. I was born in Providence, raised in Barrington, Rhode Island.
Where is Barrington?
It's, you know, 5 minutes from Providence, like everything else.
Yeah. Like, right. You know, I went to college in Massachusetts, and I always thought about Rhode Island as like a little square.
Mm.
Little did I know that I went there. It's 90% water.
Right,
in a square.
Yeah.
It's just a huge bay.
It's beautiful.
It is beautiful.
Yeah.
It
was such an amazing place to grow up.
And so is that what you represented?
I was Rhode Island when I did the teens, and then when I competed in Miss USA, I was Miss New York.
Is that where you moved at that point?
I moved. I had lived there. You have to live there for like a minimum of a year. And I did it because there was walk-ons to soap operas and meetings with casting agents. It was a bigger prize package.
And then people got to know you in The Wedding Singer.
Yeah, it was my first. Oh, my God, it was so awful. It took me like 16 times to get my one line right. It was so embarrassing, but it was a really cool experience.
It stuck.
Yeah, it was fun.
All right. Shayna Mokler is in here tonight. Meet the Barker. The phone number here on Loveline is 1-800-LOVE-191. And so if you want to talk to Shayna Mokler, please give us
I'm a Barker.
Call. She's a Barker. And we'll be right
I'm
back.
A Barker.
Loveline.
Loveline. We'll be right back.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. Shayna Mokler is satisfactorily freaked out by your guys' call, so keep bringing them right on in here, and we'll keep dumping them on her, and I'll keep answering if I need to.
You're doing very good.
We'll loosen her up. She'll start talking. Yeah. Don't worry. We got some softballs for you coming up. So what else are you up to right now?
It's pilot season. So
yeah, you're out there banging.
Yeah, it gets a little crazy.
And you got a seven-week goal, which will keep you busy.
Yeah, I'm studying lines while I'm feeding in the middle of the night.
And is Travis on tour or anything?
No, he's just in the studio. Yeah, he's doing a lot of stuff with DJ AM, so they're going to, I think,
he
Houston.
Is a great guy, by the way, and I have an apology to him if he's listening. I was supposed to meet him on Valentine's Day evening, and it is, you know, my wife's night, and she was like, wanted to stay in and watch the Olympics, and that's what we did, and I was happy to do that.
That's okay. He took me away and spoiled me some more.
Nice.
So.
Bastard. Yeah. He makes all the rest of us look bad.
He really does.
But DJ AM is really a good guy.
Yeah, they're going
really
all over. They play in Vegas. They're doing Houston All Stars.
That's right. He told me this.
New
that's
York.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, that's got to be fun. Was he in Vegas with him on Valentine's Day?
No.
Yeah.
No, he was away with me.
Where'd you guys go?
We went to the Bacar where we got married.
Santa Barbara.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, it was nice.
Yeah. Nice.
God damn him.
Now you gotta take your wife there.
I have. I still got a Bacara. They have those great
robes and yeah.
Awesome. Okay, this is Angelina. Angelina.
Hi.
Hey, what's up?
Andrew. I apologize. I feel so bad listening to all these people call in, and
we're gonna lighten
so
it up a little bit.
No, to them
it's good times, Angelina.
I'm just calling to talk to Shayna.
That's all good. That's what we're looking for. A little
Yippee!
Bit of some softballs here to get warmer back into the show.
Oh my God, I'm such a fan of you guys. I love your family. I actually have three children myself.
Oh, cool.
So, and I'm gonna be 30. My husband's gonna be 30. Our birthdays are a few months apart. There's a lot of things that are similar between our family. So we
I love
really
that.
Enjoy it. And, you know, of course, I'm sad that the season's over, but,
yeah.
But, you know, I do congratulate you on your little girl. She's beautiful.
Thank you so much. It's so nice to hear positive feedback.
Well, and it's just awesome to see you guys be you and, you know, not try to, you know, show a different side. You guys are real, and we totally appreciate that.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. And I didn't know you were on The Wedding Singer. I have it here, so I'm going to have to watch it.
I'm the stewardess.
I was reading up on one of your profiles, so I'm going to have to watch it. But I just wanted to check with you. I mean, I've been watching things like, you know, the MySpace blogs that you guys had up and stuff. I noticed they were gone. Are you guys going to have anything for your fans, like a fan site that's official between you guys?
Right now, I'm building a website for myself, which I will have a blog, and I'm going to sell different things on there, and everything from pageants to modeling stuff to Playboy stuff, you name it. And but the MySpace accounts aren't ours. They're not us. It's kind of scary, but they are not, the Travis and the Shane ones are not.
So somebody just put them
on.
And then they can do anything they want, right?
Yeah, and they invite people and they pretend they're us. And it gets a little crazy, yeah.
That is not good.
Yeah.
This is Justin. What's up, Justin?
Oh, Dr. Drew.
Yes, sir. Here you go.
Okay, I'm a big fan of both shows, Meet the Barkers and Loveline. Hi, Shana.
Hi.
And my friend wants to say hi to you, too. Hi, Shana, you're hot.
Aw, thank you.
Sorry about that. Okay, I was wondering, one, is Meet the Barkers ever going to come out on DVD? Dina?
No, I don't know. I guess that's really up to MTV, but I guess if there's a big enough demand, they'll put it out there. So hopefully.
Okay. The season was kind of short, but it was amazing.
Aw, thank you.
No problem. And congratulations on the baby.
Aw, you're so sweet.
Thank you. But the real question...
Yeah.
Dr. Drew is, I stopped masturbating recently. Sorry, Shana. I stopped masturbating recently. Kind of like my own kind of reasons. And I was wondering if it was possible to have a wet dream while I was awake.
Again, as always with our callers, I'm trying to interpret what they're actually asking. So you stopped for your own personal reasons, which are a friend bet you or something?
Like a religious thing.
A religious thing. A new religious, a newfound religion?
Well, I'm kind of like trying to get back into...
Are you a Mormon?
No, Christian. Trying
to get back into religion. And in that religion, masturbation is not an okay thing?
Yeah.
And you're wanting to have an ejaculation without touching yourself is basically what you're praying for now?
No. I'm just wondering if it's possible, like, because I know when you go to sleep, like, and you don't masturbate, like, the body releases it on its own...
Yeah,
and I was.
And
wondering,
so you just like to have one of you like to have that while you were awake.
Do you feel guilty after?
Yeah, sometimes I feel guilty, but like I'm just wondering, like if I stayed up for like 3 days straight and I had no sexual stimulants at all, didn't look at girls or didn't touch myself or anything, like would it just go off on its own, like a wet dream kind of thing?
I suppose it's possible, but it really wouldn't be a wet dream then. It'd be just sort of the wind blowing. You know what I'm saying? Because a wet dream is really a psychological stimulation, a neurobiological stimulation, and then a neurobiological sort of event, a release that can only occur in a sleep state. If you're having any release when you're awake, it was just sufficient stimulation, but you were so deprived that any stimulation caused an ejaculation. But of course, again, you pray hard enough or frequently enough, maybe just something
you know,
can come across.
There's only one way to find out. Why doesn't he just get back to us after he pulls us off?
Yeah, sure. We'd be delighted to hear. But I'm still a little confused by what the...
It wouldn't be a wet dream. It'd just be a wet.
Okay, yeah.
Like, I'm just confused what the theological sort of orient, the theological bent,
what,
if you will.
Can I ask personally what religion it is that you're getting back into?
I'm just... I'm just like... Protestant. I'm
I think everything in moderation, you know, it's healthy to masturbate.
How often? Once to twice a day.
So you just want to cut down, basically. You were feeling a little bit overdone?
A little bit.
Okay. Have you talked to a clergy?
No, not... I'm trying to... Yeah, I just started like this.
Why don't you consult with a clergy and see what's reasonable? Because I don't want you to hurt yourself there, buddy. Let's talk to somebody who's on the other end of that spectrum. Steve?
Yes.
Hey, Steve. You're on with Shana Mokler from Meet the Barkers.
Hi.
Hey, how you doing?
What's happening?
Not much. I got a question. I was just wondering, is there such thing as being addicted to, like, prostitution? Like, for example, I mean, not prostituting myself, but actually hiring a prostitute.
There's actually both. There's addicted to the lifestyle and behavior of being a prostitute. There is addiction to prostitute and pornography. Yes, there's both.
Okay, because see, I think I have a problem with that. I mean, not lately, but for a time now, ever since I was 14, one of my cousins actually bought me a prostitute. And ever since then, it's like a big turn-on for me. And it's been to a point where now that I'm 22, it's like, it's a big turn on. It's like every week.
Sounds like a couple of my ex-boyfriends.
Oh, really?
And
oh,
I,
no
and
kidding.
You know what? And I want to, I mean, you know, it's not to the point where it's kind of like making me feel like, you know, like.
Do you have a girlfriend?
Actually, I have a wife.
Wife, okay. Now, you know, and now if you don't mind, hang on, Steve, hold on a second.
Like, no.
If you don't mind, why don't you tell him what it feels like to be a partner of somebody who engages in these kinds of behaviors?
When I eventually found out of the different relationships, it's heartbreaking. It's devastating.
What do you think of the guys that do that? Yeah. Hang on, Steve. I just want you to take it in. Listen.
It's devastating, and I think.
How about if you're married? Just let's really go crazy here. What if you find out that Travis is like doing prostitutes regularly? How would that? I mean.
Well, I mean, it's definitely devastating, but you know, it does make me wonder one if it's a real problem that they have, like if it's a sickness that they do have, and
so
if they can
be willing
get help,
to hang in to,
if they
the
can
help.
Get help or something. I rarely find that that's the case, but I do believe that exists and it's out
what
there.
What do you think it is normally?
I just think that they're not happy, and the person that they're married to isn't giving them what they really need. And I think they're either married for the wrong reasons or they're in a relationship for the wrong
Could
reasons.
Could be, but men don't cheat for those reasons. Women cheat for those
really?
Reasons. Yeah.
Yeah, because my wife does everything. I mean, she's beautiful. I mean, honestly, everybody tells me, you know, you're lucky. You got a beautiful wife, and I mean,
and you love her deeply.
I do, but
and she does everything you could possibly want. Hang on, and she does everything you could possibly want emotionally. Yes.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So for a woman, mm-hmm. that's like, well, why in the hell do you cheat then?
Yeah. Please.
Why?
Well, listen. Like I said, it's something that. It has turned me on because, you know, the funny thing
stop,
is...
Stop right there. Stop right there. He cheats because it turns him on. That's men.
Wow.
They're that simple. That's how pathetic men are.
It's just the challenge?
No,
or
no,
just
no.
The...
No, no, no. Say it again. Women can't process this one. You cheat because...
It just turns you on.
Prostitutes turn me on. That's it.
That's it.
Okay, yeah. Now... Now, I apologize for the entire male gender.
I
apologize
ask one
for
question?
Them. But this is how their brains work. Go ahead.
Does it turn you on knowing, though, that you have this perfect woman at home and you kind of have your Madonna and you can have the best of both worlds and you have your horse?
That's where it makes me feel like a lowlife. That's the thing. It's like after everything happens, then that's when, you know, reality hits. And it's like, how is it possible?
Oh, we have to put him on hold? But Anderson, he's so good. He's good. All right, well, I'm going to have to talk. Anderson, you still there?
I'm sorry, but the turn-on, it's just a turn-on isn't sufficient. I need more.
That's how crazy the male brain is. It's like they have this drive.
But is it a sickness?
It is. When you can't contain the drive, when your drive that you can't contain becomes an attack on people you love, that's a sickness, right?
Right.
That's not right. And so that's when, and in his case, it's been going on for many years, and it's getting worse, and it's starting.
Yeah.
Basically, it's the consequences of the people's inability. Just like addiction is just a drive that becomes uncontrollable.
Yeah.
It affects relationships, family, work or school, finances, health, or legal situations.
What do you think are the chances or the percentages of these men actually changing that, just as if an alcoholic or any other
it's
drug?
It's about the same. They have to really deeply want to change, and they have to believe that they're going to lose something important and or die if they don't. So, Steve,
to, like, rock bottom.
There's a Del Amo Treatment Center up in Torrance, California, in San Diego. You could check that out. They have a very good program for sexual addictions and compulsions, and that's where you start.
Wow.
But... See, you learned something about men tonight.
Yes.
We were pathetic.
He actually didn't get the last part of that.
There are good ones out
there.
He
what, Sid?
He didn't get the last part of that. He hung up with us and went and got a hooker.
Right. There are good men out there, though. I really,
It's not good or bad.
Yeah.
It really is. It's just that's how the male sort of impulses are, and some guys can contain those and some guys can't.
Yeah.
Anderson, you agree with me?
It's like being hungry, but really hungry, and you can, and like, you feel like these guys feel like they're never going to eat again if they don't, or it's going to be something, it's some weird thing.
Yeah, I get you. I'm here.
Women don't have the drive thing. Women have, their emotional needs aren't getting met. They go cheat.
Right.
Mm-mm.
No.
That's not why they cheat.
Okay.
Mm-mm.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. All right, so that's Shayna Mochler. We're taking her to school and to task tonight.
Yes.
It's Meet the Barkers on MTV. Check out MTV.com for showtime. She's just finished the second season. You can also see her opposite Martin Lawrence in Big Mama's House, too. And Shayna is learning a thing or two tonight and being freaked out by our callers. And we'll continue to do that after this.
The phone number for Loveline is 1-800-LOVE-191. Loveline, I'll be right back.
Yeah.
Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. We're just discussing something that there's a rumor circulating around K-Rock. In fact, somebody told me tonight that it was announced at like a business meeting, a music meeting. Like, you'll never believe what happened, what I just heard. And that's where it got to me. And I was talking, and Adam and I would talk as though the mics weren't on. And I'd be just talking about it. I heard you hear that. I can't believe that. And so, dispel it. What's going on?
Travis and I are very much in love, okay. And we're still very happily married.
Good. So there you go. So whatever that was, came from Los Angeles, right?
No, I just the message boards, they're all crazy.
Were there fights on the show? I haven't seen that many episodes. Did you guys have conflicts on the episode? Maybe.
No, I mean, Travis and I one time went to a counselor to just talk, not to end our relationship or anything, and MTV kind of wanted to focus around it, and that's not something we were interested in.
Could they
in.
Maybe it's set up the rumor or something?
Yeah, who knows, but, you know, in the big picture, very happy. Very, very happy.
That's good.
Yeah.
All right, and do you want to talk any about your previous relationship we were talking about off the air?
Oh, I don't care. It's up to you. I'm open. I'm very open.
Well, she was saying about how we were talking with Steve a few minutes ago, who was a guy that was seeing prostitutes and strippers and whatnot, and then how Shayna was saying how she had been through a relationship, marriage, I guess, like that.
Engagement
with Oscar De La Hoya?
Yes.
And that things, you found out things afterward, and it was mind-boggling to you that men could be like that.
Yeah.
And men are like that. If they can, they do.
Yeah, it's just interesting. I mean, I don't think of it, you know, that how you were saying women... You know, they look at it like a more emotional, and men are just looking at it more physical. I still kind of
It is, and women have to, and unfortunately, there's no place that women can go to get information about how males' brains work.
Right.
They always make, and same thing with men. Men make the assumption that, men are raised on the notion that men and women are the same. I mean, that's a bill of goods that have been selling, forcing down young people's throats for the last 30 years.
Right.
And the fact is our brains operate very, very differently. I've said in this show before, male's brain is like a box with a switch in it, and that's it. And women's brain is like the flight deck of a 747. It's much more complex, much more things going on, and it's just the way it is.
Very emotional.
But whatever, it's a different biology, and as a result, motivated differently as different things. And if you don't have somewhere where you can go that helps you understand how the opposite sex brains work, you make assumption that it operates like yours, and those assumptions are wrong.
I think also when women are hurt, though, they want it to be something big. Like, you did that for a reason.
But for a reason that I can understand, that maybe I can relate to it. And that's maybe they try to convince women that's to get out from under it. But the fact is, they did it for much more trivial.
But the guy's like, there's no reason, you know. So to hear just the man just be like, no, it's just turned on. That's kind of like,
it's pathetic, right?
Come on, it's gonna be.
Pathetic.
Coward.
Ashley, what's up? You're on show Shayna Mokler.
Oh my gosh, hello. Shayna, you guys have the cutest family ever.
Aw, thank you so much.
You guys are. I used to be like a big Blink-182 fan, and then like I started watching you guys' show, and it's so cute.
Aw, thank you.
And Dr. Drew, I almost called you Adam. I listen to you almost every night before I go to bed, and you rock.
Cool.
And I kind of have like a lame but gross question in a way. I was wondering, like, when you go for like a gyno appointment, pretty much, like, and you're like menstruating, is it like not as accurate, like, to see if you like to test you or whatever for anything? Is it less
pretty much? Pretty much, you can do it's probably a little better in terms of being able to visualize things and sample certain things, but you can go then. I mean, you can.
How
depends
are your gyno appointments?
My gyno appointment. Well, I do lots of pelvic exams, and it gets a little bit. If you know, if you have a heavy flow, it's very difficult to sort of visualize things the way you need to, and you probably couldn't do colposcopy and that sort of thing. So
cultures and stuff.
Oh, no, you can, yeah. But all things being equal, it's better if not. It's no big deal from my standpoint, but some doctors may prefer to do it a little more pristine. All right.
Pristine.
Hey, Shanna, Shanna, if you guys ever need a nanny, I seriously would love to be a nanny.
Aw, thank you.
I know.
Whoops. Let's get rid of that call right away. This is Pauline. What's up, Pauline?
We have a great nanny. I love her.
Yeah.
Hey.
What's happening, Pauline?
Hi. Yeah, you're almost
Shayna Mokler.
Hi.
Hi. You rock. And, I have to say that Blink-182 is, like, the best band ever.
They are. They're so cool.
Sorry, that's kind of like part of my question. Like, I wanted to know what happened to them, like why they broke up. Honestly, I cried when they did.
Oh, no, don't cry. You never know. I mean, they could get back together. I think the bandmates, they just, there's different wants and needs. Some wanted to be with their families, and some just creatively wanted to go off in different directions. So I think for a band, you know, that's been together for so many years, to just take a little bit of a break and kind of go do some things creatively or personally, and then, you know, maybe get back together later on down the road. But I think it happens, you know, with a lot of bands, and it's really healthy and normal in my eyes what they're doing, you know. So that's really all that happened.
Kind of like, I was wondering, like, what happened to Tom? Because, like, I never saw him on Meet the Barkers or anything.
Yeah, he wanted to really spend some more time with his family, and I think he and his wife are expecting a baby now. I think Jen's 3 months pregnant, and I know he's working on Angels and Airwaves, so I wish him all the success.
What's Angels and Airwaves?
That's a new project he's working on.
For MTV? Oh, that's the band?
Yeah, a band that he's working with, yeah.
Let's Meet the Barkers is the show. Shayna Mochler is in here in the studio. The phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191. Check MTV.com for the show times. They air it all the time.
Yeah.
It's on MTV2 also? Or
I'm not sure. Yeah, sometimes.
Seems like
sometimes,
every time.
Yeah.
It's like,
they have
boom,
marathons. Yeah.
They have marathons. They do indeed.
Marathons.
So we'll have more Shayna, more you after this. Here we go. It's Loveline. The phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Meet the Barkers is the show. Shayna Mochler is our guest. Check MTV.com for showtime. Is there a main showtime?
It was Tuesdays at 10, but now that I think the real world's jumping in there, so
it's all over the place.
Yeah, it's all over the place now.
Marathons and whatnot. This is Melanie. Melanie, I'm with Shayna Mochler. What's going on?
Hey, this is so great to actually be on. Okay.
Here you are.
It's amazing. It took me forever. So many busy numbers. But yes, my question is, I was wondering if after sex, and I guess like I talked to someone and I said maybe after orgasming only, is there a hormone, two different hormones produced, one in men and one in women, that that makes like men want to go to sleep and like, you know, just kind of pass out, and one in women that makes them want to like get up and maybe like walk around and be very energetic and stuff.
Yes, there is. However, it's probably not one single hormone. There is a tendency for men to become drowsy after sex, after orgasm specifically.
Yeah.
And the theory is that serotonin surge is what's responsible for much of that in certain parts of the brain.
Okay.
And then women may have norepinephrine excess after orgasm. That tends to be more of a stimulant. There also is oxytocin released by women, by both men and women, maybe a higher concentration in women. It's a pituitary hormone. It's also called the bonding hormone. It makes people feel more cuddly. It makes people feel more involved with each other and bonded. And oxytocin, interestingly, doesn't work under the influence of testosterone. So men get very little of that, if any, experience.
Yeah.
While women get this very huge surge of this, that's why you shouldn't be sexually active with somebody you don't plan to be a little bonded to, because your biology bonds you. And there are many, many, many other complex and subtle responses that are profoundly different between the two
sexes. But
those
would be like the main well-known ones.
Those are the sort of the sweeping generalities, yeah. And then men feel a little hungry and sleepy. Women feel a little stimulated and talkative and don't want to go to sleep. And that creates for resentment, because they're awake and the guy's asleep and it's 11:30 and now look what you did to me.
Yes, that makes sense.
Okay.
And so would this be a result of orgasming only, pretty much, or like...
It is a result of both intimate physical contact and orgasm, but the male part is particularly with the orgasm.
Yes, it's serotonin and epinephrine.
Norepinephrine in women, serotonin in men, and oxytocin in women.
Okay,
and then again, many other endorphins, multiple other, you know, probably the whole cannabinoid system is active, neuromodulators are activated.
Yes, the
very, very complex
system.
That's the cannabis system. That's the part that binds the marijuana receptors, believe it or not. So here's a Shayna question. This is Will. What's up, Will, for Shayna?
Hey.
Hi, Will.
Shayna. Hey, how are you? Working with Triple H and all the guest wrestlers on Pacific Blue.
Oh my God, they were so cool. And I was actually in a jail cell with China Doll for like 8 hours. It was crazy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was. They were all so nice and strong. She actually lifted a grown man over her head and threw him. And we get to do a lot of cool things with them too. We get to go there and you know, participate in their wrestling matches and stuff. So it was kind of fun.
Yeah, that's cool. I actually met some of them. The Rock, he's never been on there though, right?
No. But I met him right before he blew up, and he was the nicest guy ever.
Oh, I know. He signed my portrait. I drew him. He's a class act guy.
Yeah. You do portraits?
Yeah, I do portraits. I actually drew you and Travis. I don't know if you guys got it.
No, I would love it one.
Yeah,
I'd love to see it.
Yeah, it's really cool, but I made a copy. I mean, it's really huge. So, I mean, I don't know where to send it.
Send it to producer Ann, care of Loveline.
Yeah.
What's the address here? 5901 Venice Boulevard, Los Angeles, California, 90034.
Aw, thank you, guys. I'd love to see it.
Here's Teresa. Teresa, you're on with Shayna Mochler.
Hi. I'm calling just because I wanted to get some insight from a medical professional. I have a situation in which my professor and I are... beyond flirting, he asked me out for a drink, and the class is just about over with, so I kind of don't, I mean, at our school, there's no policy. I looked it up. There's no policy, so there's no, like, legal ramifications, but I think...
What kind of school is this? Some hippie
college.
School? Without
it's
a policy about teachers and
university.
Students?
There's no policy.
What's the age difference?
There has to be. There are legal issues here. So
we're not supposed to be. He's supposed to wait till he's not teaching me anymore.
All right. So there is a policy. There's an ethical policy.
The grade.
Yeah,
that,
at least an ethical. That's fine. I mean, most places, they'll excuse certain situations after the teacher student relationship is no longer operative.
I'm wondering if, like, because when I think about it, I don't really think I'm turned on by him so much as I am just the idea of it. Like, I think it's kind of sexy that he has this power and that he has this like mystique, or, you know, the whole, it's very unequal, and I've never really been in a relationship like that before. I usually have just like normal relationships with guys my own age, and I don't know if that's like really healthy to be chasing after something that you know isn't really like solid basis for.
Well, it's probably not healthy. I mean, healthy role-playing is good. You could find a guy where you could, you know,
pretend to be
do that. Yeah, you could pretend to be your sexy professor. You could buy a little schoolgirl costume, and Travis and I are gonna have fun tonight.
Yeah, you know, that might work. Definitely, there's something about it that just like really turns me on. But I think
it's great advice you're getting from Shayna. But the reality is, when there's a power imbalance,
thank you,
Shayna. No, she's right. When there's a power imbalance like that, there's a word to describe that relationship. Teresa,
what's that?
Exploitative. That's an exploitative relationship. It's also a dual relationship, meaning he's your teacher and your lover. And those are sick. Dual relationships are not healthy.
And even though it's good now, it can always go south.
Oh,
and then
absolutely.
It could affect your grade, even though you
or
think
whatever,
it wouldn't now.
And who knows what kind of chaos it could evoke.
Yeah.
And it's exploitative. So there's either something wrong with him or something wrong with you or something wrong with both of you guys that you'd want to sort of engage in an exploitative relationship. Now, if a year from now and you're no longer in this class and you would like him as a person still, fine, go date the guy. But at this point, you're acting something out. And better to act it out in the schoolgirl outfit in the privacy of your own home with somebody that you really like. This is Ken. What's up? You're on Shayna Mochler.
Hey, I'm going to a school for psychiatry. And I was wondering exactly, what are you, a psychiatrist or psychologist?
I'm an internist, MD, with a specialty in addiction medicine. And I run medical departments in psychiatric hospitals.
Okay, now, what exactly... Because I haven't picked, like, exactly what I'm going to do in med school yet, so I'm kind of wondering, what exactly... How did you go in your career after you got out?
You're not even into... Well, that means you're not even into medical school yet, so you better focus on that.
Yeah, I'm not into medical school.
Why don't you worry about getting into medical school? That's the hardest thing in the world.
Is it? I mean, well, because right now, I just got my associate's, and I'm working on my bachelor's.
Yeah, okay,
right,
you got a few years to go.
Yeah.
So, you got some ass kicking to do for a few years, so don't worry about what you're going into. Worry about getting into medical school, okay?
Well, what exactly can I expect when I get into medical school, though?
You can expect to not have a life for about 10 years. And
How long does it take? Because I can't get no one to answer that for me. So,
well, it's 4 years of medical school, minimum 4 years of medical school and 4 years of residency. So it's 8 years after you get into medical school, minimum.
Okay, because see, I had my psychiatrist. He told me that he went through in 3 years, and I'm wondering how that's possible. But he don't.
There used to be a 3-year residency in psychiatry. I think now it's 4 years. Okay, I believe it's 4 years now. Yeah, I believe it.
And also, one question: like my psychiatrist won't answer is, what do they make after medical school? What do psychiatrists usually make after medical school? Like exactly how does that
money wise? It's all over the place.
Really?
Some make $50,000 a year. Some probably make $300,000 a year.
Okay. Yeah. Well, how long can I expect after I get out of med school before I actually start working?
The 4 to 6 years. You're looking at 10 years after you get to medical school. Ken, you're projecting way too far in the future. Get into medical school. That is the hardest path, the hardest thing you're ever going to do. Brittany, what's up?
Hi.
You're on with Shayna Mokler.
I'm sorry. Hey, Shayna, I love you. I just wanted to say you are so cute on that show. And you're great too, Dr. Drew.
Thanks, Brittany.
I have a question. My boyfriend was shot and murdered on Valentine's Day 3 years ago now.
Ouch.
I'm just wondering, I'm dating another guy now, and I'm just wondering if there's any reason why I can't get over it, basically. Like, is there a mourning process that I'm supposed to go through that I haven't gone through yet, or...
Yes, closure. That's part of it. Part of it also, it's when young people have people close to them die, particularly like when you're in your teens, it's so shattering because you don't feel like you're biological. You don't feel the reality of death, and young people are just not supposed to die. And so it can be quite, quite shattering. Then if you fall into a depression, that can make the grieving process almost impossible. Have you been depressed?
Well, I actually don't know. Like the man that I'm with now, I love him very much, but I feel like the reason why I can't get too attached to him is because I'm constantly thinking of my ex.
But that makes sense, right? That's a way of protecting yourself against getting hurt again. Were you there when he was shot?
No, and I mean, I was supposed to go out on a date. Obviously, I was waiting for him to call me, and he never did. So
what happened exactly?
He was involved in some bad things. He had some friends that were gang members, and they went to a Chevron gas station, and it was an sorry, I'm sick, but there was an Asian gang that didn't like his friend that was with him, and Boyan was just there and wanted to stick up for his friend, and they were just ruthless and
he was already in a gang, right?
No, I mean, yeah, he affiliated with them, but he was not in the gang.
There's a difference between affiliating with a gang and being in the gang.
I know.
But Brittany, you're sort of in denial about who this guy was. The guy's in the gang. People in gangs get shot.
Do you find women when they, when they break up, or when a man, whatever, if they're shot and murdered or if they leave you, do you think women just fall in love with the idea of the perfect man, Like they have that image of that man being this person that maybe he wasn't. Obviously, he was a gang member, so.
Yes, that's how you can make it impossible to let go of somebody.
Or find someone who can live up to this,
right,
this fantasy.
Right, it's a way of protecting yourself against a future relationship. It's a way of making this relationship something much more than it was. It's all internalized in ways that aren't reflective of reality. And so, Brittany, maybe a little time for a little therapy on this. It's been more than 3 years, and you're still obsessing about this. It's a guy who was a bad guy in a gang.
Is there any small rituals maybe she can do, or
Therapy is the best thing. I would say if they had the perfect life in reality, and all of a sudden that was ripped away from her, but she's idealized.
Like she can let go of the red balloon or something.
Right. but you're hearing somebody who's idealizing something that really wasn't there.
Yeah.
And that's what's troubling me. So that means that something earlier needed to be idealized too.
Talk to someone, yeah.
Like the abusive dad that left.
Right.
Yeah, something like that. Is it? I also,
is that your history, Brittany?
Well, I never knew my father, and my mother died about 4 months after that. So I'm confused as with the man I'm with now. Am I being unfair to him as far as?
Yes, of course you are. But having been through those sorts of losses in early childhood, closeness in general is something extremely treacherous. And I'm actually sure you weren't even that close to this guy that died. But the fact that he died made it just another loss, and that's what's amplified it. And so, yes, this is something where it's unfortunately, letting the red balloon go and all that stuff. Won't do it for Brittany.
It won't do it, yeah.
She needs a
I find it really interesting, too, that you know, not just in our callers and stuff, but that you mentioned a lot of the times women with the loss of the dad. Yeah,
yeah, it's a
big deal. That's a big thing with my friends, too.
Yeah, and men have a lot of stuff with their mom, but it's not quite as vivid. It's not
yeah,
your women.
It's intense.
Yeah, at least on the outliers, the people that get involved with the abusive, unavailable men, you can pretty much
guarantee. Find it doesn't matter how the father's gone, whether he passed or if he left or
it's
whatever.
Just that he's gone.
It's just that he's gone.
I totally agree with you. Jonathan, what's up? You're on with Shayna Mokler.
Yes. Let me first say, Drew, I love your show. I listen to you every night. I work at graveyard shift security, so I wouldn't make it through the night without you.
Nice.
And Shayna, I love the show. I love Travis.
Thank you.
My question is, how do your parents think, would they think of Travis in the early stages of your relationship when you first introduced them?
Let's sort of break this down a little bit, Jonathan. When did you guys first get together, you and Travis?
3 years ago.
2003?
Actually, 2002. 3.5 years.
Okay. So first your parents had to get used to you being in Playboy.
Well, yeah, I guess.
How'd that go?
You know, my parents and I have a really great relationship, and I can talk to them about anything. And so for me to do that, it wasn't something they thought was really out of the ordinary for my personality. And they celebrated it. It was, you know, they're really open.
They were good with it. So yeah. they were sort of letting go already.
Yes.
And then Travis came along.
Yeah. Well, you know, I always tell people that, you know, I was in a relationship that wasn't so good with someone who on the outside was very politically correct looking and was very accepting to society, very clean cut.
Did your parents buy all that?
From Rhode Island, right?
And, you know, so I was with this one man who looked the part, but inside wasn't a really good guy. Wasn't a good guy at all. And then you have someone like Travis who on the outside has the tattoos and the piercings and the mohawk, but inside he's one of the most amazing men, and he's a man, and he's truly wonderful.
He's a great guy.
Yeah, good man. So,
I love his music.
Aw, thank you.
And I have a second question. It's a little personal, but I know Travis is away from the house from, you know, like 3 months on tour, and it's apparent from the show that you guys are fairly sexually active. I was just wondering if
we have fun.
I was just wondering if you have something in the meantime while he's away, you know.
Jonathan, you offering your services? Is that what the deal is here?
No. I'm saying if she has a little, you know, toy or like thunderstick.
Yeah. This is something that Jonathan wants to use a little later on by himself with his toys.
Do I need to answer that?
It's up to you.
Yeah, I do. Absolutely, of course. I think it's healthy for our caller earlier who was guilty, felt guilty about masturbating. I think it's healthy and normal. And
yeah.
And 1 to 2 times a day is normal.
Especially the young guys. Kathy, right. What's up?
It's Cassie.
Hi, Cassie. I beg your pardon.
Shayna, I love you. You're so gorgeous. I love your show.
Thank you so much.
Are you going to have another season? Or?
You know, I don't know. I guess it's up in the air. You know, it's really up to MTV, and our ratings, we did really good, and we're really happy. So it would have to be something we would have to think about, too, because it's hard.
Yeah, that's cool. Okay, well, I have a question. My friend, like, her and her boyfriend are sexually active, and they just recently, like, had sex without a condom, and the next day he banged her, and she said it hurt really bad, and I was wondering if that's a sign that she might be pregnant.
Banged her as in, like, he had sex with her, or he hit her cervix?
Or he used his hand.
Had sex, and then the next day he, like, you know, banged her with his finger, and she said it hurt really bad, and she's, like, feeling that.
It's a sledgehammer.
Does that mean she might be pregnant, or?
No, that has nothing to do with pregnancy.
No.
However, they had unprotected sex the night before.
Oh, okay.
No.
Okay.
It has nothing.
Okay.
Has nothing. No. Has nothing to do with pregnancy. However, did they have unprotected sex the night before?
Huh?
Did they have unprotected sex the night before? The first time they had sex, was it unprotected?
Yeah.
Okay, well, she needs to get the morning after pill, okay?
Yeah, she could possibly be pregnant.
Yes, she needs to get the morning after pill right away. Do you know what that is?
No.
It's a pill you take after sex to prevent pregnancy.
Oh, okay. But this is like a long time ago, so.
Oh.
And she's probably not pregnant, but.
Okay.
How long ago?
Like a week and a half ago, maybe.
Oh. She could possibly be pregnant.
Well, then she needs to get a pregnancy test, and she needs to get some counseling at Planned Parenthood if she is, in fact, pregnant.
Isn't the number for it 1-800-NOT-TOO-LATE for
it
the
is.
Morning after pill?
It's number one. It's actually 888-NOT-TOO, number two, late, L-A-T-E, 1-888-NOT-TOO-LATE, where you can get the morning after pill without a prescription. They'll refer you to a pharmacy in your area. And this is a pill that works by suppressing, I know for Cassie, this may get a little complex here, from the egg from being released from the ovary. It doesn't get released, so you can't get pregnant because there's no egg there for the sperm. Cassie, you know that sperm meets egg and then goes down the tube and then implants in the uterus? You know that whole routine?
Yeah.
Yes?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
But that's only within the first 72 hours, right?
72. Oh, actually up to 5 days, but it's about 90% effective. You're taking the 24, but 80-85% you're taking the first 48 hours, and up to 70% effective if you take it in that first 72 hours. But some people advocate using up to 5 days out. And the fact is, if you get pregnant, if the egg is available, which is about 30% of the time it is, then you get pregnant.
But her friend, it happened a week and a half ago.
I know, so it's no good.
So can she call 1-888-TOO-LATE?
No. It's 1-888-TOO-LATE.
Does that do anything for her?
No, that won't.
Yeah. Planned Parenthood.
Planned Parenthood is where she goes. This is Ryan. What's up, Ryan? You're on with Shayna Mokler from Meet the Barkers.
Hey, I love your show. I actually have to say that I love your husband's drumming style. He's absolutely amazing.
He's very talented.
Yes, he is. I'm a musician myself. He's off the hook. Anyways, my question is for Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
I am diagnosed bipolar type 2. And I had been taking Depakote, not the extended release, but the regular Depakote and Wellbutrin, the regular Wellbutrin for the last 4.5 years. And then I recently got changed over to the Depakote ER and Wellbutrin XL. Mm-hmm.
Sounds so chipper and happy.
Bipolar.
Well, jeez. You know what? It wasn't that way earlier, but I'm there now. Anyways. I was also I also went to see a Dr. Robert Sullivan in Lake Forest to get a medicinal marijuana card, and I wondered, he seemed to think that the marijuana would help me, but I don't know, like, I don't know what doctor to listen to, you know, because I have had, I wouldn't say problems, but I got involved in cocaine when I was in high school, and I don't know if, I don't think that I'm an addict, but I don't want to get involved in something before I know.
The medicinal, so actually you can smoke marijuana then with this prescription?
Yes.
And have you used marijuana on a regular basis any time in your life?
There was a time in high school, like about a month and a half, where I was using it every day, but
All right, this is going to be a horrible idea for you.
Yeah.
And in fact, it would be malpractice to suggest that you use this substance.
Really?
Now, if you get strung out, you can go ahead and sue the guy from Lake Forest, and you're well within your rights. But the fact is that marijuana eventually, first of all, it will trigger addiction.
Okay.
Secondly, it will destabilize bipolar. Now, maybe in very rare cases, it may have some sort of stabilizing effect transiently. But in the sense that it will begin to activate the drives associated with addiction, given your past history, that's going to be destabilizing. It's probably going to destabilize your bipolarity. And then finally, marijuana always, if used regularly, can take a long time, but it will eventually start to cause panic and anxiety.
Yeah.
It takes time for some people it develops rather quickly, and that will severely compromise your bipolarity.
And that brings me to my next question. I'm a musician, and smoking pot, absolutely, like whenever I go into practice, it opens other doors. Let's just put it that way. So, I mean, should I drop it completely or should I use it sparingly?
I think if you
even have that, like, the smallest amount of drive to know that, you shouldn't do it.
Yeah, you have a major psychiatric disorder. You're bipolar too. For me to even suggest that it's okay, it would be malpractice for me to even suggest that it's possibly okay for you. That would be a huge liability for me to say that. So, make your own decisions. But that's how serious the issue is we're talking about here. Here is another question for Shayna, if I can get these calls up.
I'm like frightened.
Here. John, there you go. What's up, John?
Hey, Drew.
Hey, John, what's happening?
I've never called you guys. I so love your show.
God bless you. What's happening?
And you are one of the top two smartest people on the radio that I've ever heard.
Who's the other one?
Aww. I think Dean Adell.
Dean Adell, okay.
Dr. Dean Adell, he's amazingly smart, too, don't you think?
He's a good guy. He's a very good guy.
He's a smart dude. I happen to be drawn towards like really smart people who are logical in everything they think about. And there's a lot of that missing on the radio today, but between you and Dr. Anyway, the reason I was calling to ask Shanna, does Travis need a really smoking guitar player for any of the many projects he's involved in?
God, you know, I don't know. I mean, you could always send a demo to K-Rock, and we'll get it over to him, you know?
Producer Ann, 4901, 5901.
You guys going to be having all this stuff
90034. Let's take a little break here. Why don't we? I'm looking. Let's see. Barfin gave her the shocker. Oh, hold on a second. Ashley.
Hi.
What's the shocker?
Okay, well, the shocker is two fingers up the...
Hold on. So just hang on one second. Ashley, just hold. Okay, thank you. All right. I'm being educated. Shana, you'll get educated with me.
I didn't know, but he did.
I just saw it. Our producer, Corey, just held up the fingers necessary to make a shocker. Ashley, you hang on a second. We're going to take a little break. Shana Moakley and I are going to walk outside, catch our breath. We're going to come in with Ashley and the shocker when we return.
Yeah, love line.
Love line will be right back.
Some more Love Line. It's going to prove to be a shocking segment. Maybe not. We'll learn about the shocker. Yeah, nice. Good times.
Shocker.
Good times. 1-800-LOVE-191. Shana Moakley in here. Meet the Barkers is the show.
Yay.
Tuesday at 10 was the time. Now it's in marathons and it's in rotation. And check out MTV.com for showtimes. And you can also see her opposite Martin Lawrence in Big Mama's House. Now, let's find out about this shocker.
Oh.
So, Ashley.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay, well...
Lay it on us.
My boyfriend the other day gave me the shocker, and it just... I don't know. I'm not usually...
It's shocking.
...for, like, different things, and I don't know, it just seems really unsanitary, and I don't know, just weird.
Do you want to tell us what the shocker is so we can understand how it becomes unsanitary?
Okay, well, it's your ring finger down, your pinky up... the anal, and your index and middle at the vagina.
Good times, good times.
And then if you use the thumb, they call it the six-pack, because it's like carrying a six-pack.
Seriously?
Oh, God. Yes. Sounds like a toy at the pleasure
chest. Corey
chest.
Just yelled out, two in the, what is it? Go ahead, put it on the mic. I can't quite say it.
It's two in the pink, one in the stink.
That's nice. That's nice.
No.
Yes, men are romantic.
No.
Do you ever notice that? You ever notice that? But we're learning a lot about men tonight. This is what they stuff they sit around thinking about. And then poor Ashley gets experimented on like some sort of lab rat. So did it do anything for you?
Well, I mean, it's erotic and it feels good, but there's just something that just doesn't feel right about it. Like, well,
what's happening today or since you've had the shocker?
I don't know. It feels. I'm not a person that like. I don't like being, like, touched and stuff. And like, so I'm just still. I don't know. It kind of feels a little. I don't know. Because
you can always repay the favor right back.
By the way, that's always a good turn. Boy, when guys are doing things you don't want, you really like that? Well, let's here we go.
Let's try it.
You're next.
Honey.
You're next. In fact, you're first. And most guys are not going to like that, not one little bit. So, Ashley, I'm a little confused. What are you feeling now?
I don't know. I don't feel like really anything.
Hey, Ashley. Ashley.
Yeah.
I don't know does not help us. Okay, it really doesn't.
I wanted to know like if I can get any kind of type of like infection from having this. Like,
well, if his finger that was in your anus finds its way to the vagina, yes, you can get vaginal infections that way.
Okay.
For sure, but those are parts of your body that are obviously in close proximity already, and things stay okay. It's just if he's transferring stuff in, it's not so hot for you. And the other thing is that he's doing all this vigorous activity there, it can cause a urinary tract infection. So if it hurts you, if you pee, that sort of thing, he just causes so much trauma to the area that he's caused an infection.
It's still okay if he's gentle about it, but it's probably not the, I don't know. Yeah, do you feel bad about it? You sound like you feel like you feel guilty that you did it.
Well, I mean, I don't know. The shocker was quite shocking. So, I don't know. So, I don't know. And I know, like, you, Shana, probably know, like, that, like, anything, like, that goes, it should be, like, clean around, you know?
Yeah, you should just tell him. You know, I mean, it's one thing if you experimented and, you know, you tried something new and maybe it just wasn't for you. And, you know, you can just tell him that. So, you know, it wasn't really what
maybe
I'm into.
Maybe I just have to get used to it. I don't know.
No, Ashley, no. Listen, think about what guys ask for. The things they ask for are things they really want, they want now. Not because they have to get used to it, because it's something they like and makes them feel good. Women should not have to get used to things. Right. Or have to tolerate things. That is ridiculous. Yeah. Okay?
Okay.
All right, decide
especially
what you want.
Sexually.
Yes. Well, anyway. Yeah. My goodness. Chris, what's happening there?
Hey, what's up, guys? How's it going?
Good. You're on Shana Mocha.
Yeah. Hey, Shana, how's it going? Well, first of all, my girlfriend and my sister love you guys' show. Well, I think every girl does now. But I had a quick question. My phone's going to die. My girlfriend had a son about 2 years ago. And every time we're intimate, like the foreplay session, you know, she seems to maybe like lactate a very little amount. I was wondering if that was still possible 2 years after her pregnancy.
When did she stop breastfeeding?
She stopped breastfeeding a month after she had him. That was about 2004.
Is she on any medication?
No, not at all. She's very.
It is possible. She should still be checked because there can be prolactin secreting tumors and things that can sort of come on.
Is it a lot?
No, it's very like minuscule amount. Very
persistent stimulation of the nipple can cause persistent breast milk production. So it probably is just, you know, one of them things. But it should be checked just to be sure. Thyroid conditions, other things, birth control pills, even sometimes. Desiree, what's happening there? You're on with Shana Mocha.
Hey, what's up? How are you guys?
We're good.
Wow. Let's see. I just kind of got into this relationship with this guy, and he seems to be moving really fast as far as like emotionally getting very attached. And I kind of feel like the guy in the relationship. Like as far as like I wanted to kind of have sex first, and I kind of convinced him that we should. And I know that sounds like really odd, but I've never had to come across a situation like that before. And I don't know, like when we have sex, we have sex for like about 40 minutes long and he does not ejaculate. Mm. And like, it's like, and he likes it when I'm on top. So I'm going and I'm like trying to ride him and I'm like, keep going. And you know, like I just get really tired. And like, I feel like the guy and like, he wants to stay up and talk afterwards and I'm just tired. I want to go to sleep.
Do you have orgasms that way or no?
The first time it was like really good because like we've been like foreplaying for a while and everything. And like, I was so ready to go. Like I told him, I said in and out, like we need to go get condoms right now. And we actually like ran down the street and got condoms. And I said, you need to go. And then, you know, like once he got back, I had to talk him into having sex. And he's like, well, this is just like a big deal because I love you. And then, you know, there's the L word. And I'm like, whoa.
Ooh.
Yeah. And
run.
We've been going out 2 weeks today. And he's already talking about like marriage.
Uh-oh.
And yeah. And I'm like, it's kind of scary. I mean, like, I really like him because he treats me really well. I mean, he's a very good boyfriend, but it seems like this one could be, like, a clinger five.
A what?
A clinger, you know, like, clinger five. Like, he is, like, full-on, like, getting really obsessed
clinger.
With me. Yeah.
Like a five-alarm clinger?
Yeah, like, full alarm system going off here. Like, I mean, I really do care about him. Like, he's a very nice guy, but at the same time, I have a feeling that...
Have you tried talking to him and just asking him to slow down a little bit or, you know?
Yeah, We went over this last night. I talked to him. And I was like, you know, do you feel like we're moving a little fast? And he's like, only because I care about you so much. And I mean, I kind of have a lot going on in my life. I mean, I'm going to school right now. I'm going to school to be a marine biologist. I mean, I work at SeaWorld and I've got stuff going on over there. And then I do my volunteer work. And it seems like he's asking a lot for me. And I told him from the beginning, you know, I've got like a life going on here and, you know, it's,
yeah, you're gonna crush this guy.
Yeah, I'm like,
yeah, I feel like
him alive.
I feel like it, you know, and he's like, you're so perfect and everything, and but, you know, like...
And I find, like, the more she's going to resist him, the more he's even going to get even clingier and even more aggressive with his...
Yeah, I'm not sure this is going to... How old is this guy?
He is the same age as I am. He's 18.
What's he doing with his life?
Okay, he goes to community college. He wants to be an actor.
Oh boy! See, so he needs to get something. Yeah, he needs to get something going in his life. This is not going to change until he has a life like yours that he feels good about, that he is connected to.
Well, and that's what he's saying. Like, I motivate him. Like, I got him to stop doing drugs, which I think is good because I don't like them.
Oh, oh boy! This story is getting worse and worse. What drugs was he doing?
He was occasionally doing cocaine, methamphetamine, weed. And
maybe that's why he can't come. Why he's having a hard time.
That could be one. Absolutely.
Exactly. I mean, but he told me that in previous relationships, he'd only have sex for 10 minutes and he'd go. But since, like, he's so into ours, like...
Well, who knows? He's doing a lot of drugs. He may or may not be telling you the truth. He may still be doing drugs. Desiree, this whole thing, the more the story unfolds, the sort of more problematic
it
sounds.
It doesn't seem like talking to this kind of personality is going to...
Right, and I mean, like, the phone calls in the day and the text messaging and the I love you.
Bugaboo.
Like, it's a lot. I mean, like...
So is there a discreet question for us? How can we help?
I mean, like, I don't know how to go about taking this from here. Like, I mean, do I just stop it all at once? Or do I just take it down a notch or just really sit him down and talk to him? Because he is a very nice guy. I mean, like, I don't know exactly how to take this. And, like, I mean, if I break up with him for whatever reason, like, and if he did anything to himself, I'd feel very guilty. And I don't want to have...
That's not your burden to carry.
No, it isn't. However, this guy started dumping that in her lap.
Yeah. I mean, I guess you could have one healthy, good conversation with him.
You're gonna have a series of conversations.
You need to run away.
You know, if it doesn't sound like she wants to. She wants to be in this relationship, and that's fine. You need to create more boundaries in the relationship and create more structure in it, and, you know, have it very proceed with a very structured pattern. Like, we'll see each other two nights a week, and you know, don't let this divulge into, you know, devolve into something where you guys are living together within the next 3 weeks, which is where this is headed.
I just find
those are poor boundaries that issue is.
In the past, with men that I've had to say, can we go slower with? I find it just makes them go. Even full throttle, even worse, it just doesn't ever pan out.
It ends up, and the relationship falls apart anyway. Yeah. I think that's probably going to be the case here, but, you know, she wants to give it a shot. That's fine. Maybe you can convince him to get a therapist so he has somebody he can talk to about this. Maybe you have that kind of leverage with him. You've urged him to stop doing drugs, which I guarantee you will resurface. That's the other unfortunate part of this. Maybe you can get him into a recovery program. Maybe you can sort of impact on his overall health, get him to focus on his life, get a real life going, and proceed in the relationship in a very structured way. This guy has horrible boundaries.
I also find, as a woman, though, like, it's not fun being the man in a relationship.
I'm sure not.
Know?
But you heard her. She wants to keep going. She wants to do this. That's up to her. If she doesn't want to keep going this relationship, it certainly would be reasonable.
But she's
not
saying,
to.
Like, you know, he's a nice guy. You're going to find a nice guy who's going to be the man and still have all those qualities that you want. And she's 18.
I know. She's taking on another life in addition to her own. All right, let's look at some of these calls. This is Alex. What's up, Alex?
Hello?
Hey there, what's happening? You're on with Shayna Mochler.
Hey!
Hey, what's happening?
Hey,
Shayna.
Hi, how are you?
Or
I'm
Alex?
Good. I love your show, Shayna. You guys are a really cool couple.
Aw, thank you.
Yeah. I have a concern. I don't know. But, hello?
Yeah, we're listening. We're all ears. This is where you tell us what that concern is.
Okay.
I have a concern. And then silence.
Okay, well, me and my boyfriend have a long-distance relationship. And, keep things, you know, whatever, between us, we started talking dirty to each other. And the other night, I just felt like he just took it a little, like, I think he gets really into it, and the other night, I think he took it a little too far, and it made me feel uncomfortable, and I want to tell him, but I just don't know how to tell him without, like, completely the idea and making him feel bad.
What happened?
No, nothing happened. It's just when we talked to each other, the way he was just, like, the things he was describing, it just kind of went too far. Like,
what'd he do?
he said that, you know, he wanted to, like, shove his, you know, in my mouth, and I was just like, I didn't like that. That made me feel uncomfortable. No, I mean, no, he's a good guy, but I think he just gets really into it, and...
You know, God, listen, we've been talking all night about how sort of lame guys are and how much... One thing I've noticed from most men is they appreciate some guidance. And if he's doing things that make you uncomfortable, he wants to know that.
Yeah.
You don't have to, do not get aggressive and resentful with him, but say, you know, I notice, I know you're so into it, but you know what, this for me, that really turns me off. And they'll be like, yeah. okay, that's it, okay,
and
fine.
I think it's only going to make your sex life healthier and better, you know, if you tell him what it is that you like and what it is
you
don't
gotta
like.
You got to be explicit. Here's what turns me on, here's what turns me off.
Yeah.
And that's it. Guys will follow that like a freaking yellow brick road. They will go right, they'll follow right smack down where you want them. But if you say this, you know, I know you're, and I know you like that, and I maybe we can, maybe if you approach it like this, this would turn me on. But the way you did it turns me off. And be explicit in why, the aggression or the whatever it is that makes you uncomfortable, because guys, their brain doesn't work the same and they don't know.
Yeah, I think it's so important to explain to your partner what it is you like and you don't.
And you think it's like, because I've never done that before, like he's like the one that initiated it. So, but it's like a healthy thing to do to like, you know.
Yes, it's fine.
It's very healthy.
Evidently, Shane, just judging by Shane's response, she and Travis do that to maintain things while he's out on the road.
Yes.
They probably have multiple other techniques with video cameras or internet stuff, whatever. And these days you can use all those technologies, and what the hell, why not? It keeps relationships going across great distances. But Alex, I cannot stress strongly enough how important it is to tell a guy what turns you off and why, so they get it. And then here's where you need to go a little more in this direction. This is what I like, and here's why. This is sort of the quality of what I like, because again, they don't get it.
I agree 100%.
All right, that's Shayna Moakler. The phone number here is 1-800-LOVE-191. The show is Meet the Barkers. This is Loveline, and we'll be right back.
Loveline. We'll be right back.
All right, Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191. Shayna Moakler from Meet the Barkers. Let's get right back to the calls. This is David. What's up, David?
Hey, how's it going?
We're good. What's happening?
Hi.
Man?
Hi. How are you? Well, I've been having... I got a new girlfriend. We've been hanging out for like 2 months. And we recently started having sex. And I don't think of myself as necessarily the biggest guy. But when I kind of give it to her... As far as I can go, there's like a the end of her vagina, there's like a spongy mass, kind of like a flesh sponge, and I was just kind of curious as to what that is.
The flesh sponge you're encountering at the end of the vagina?
It feels a little funny.
That's a gnome that lives up there.
A gnome.
That's her cervix, monsieur.
That is her cervix?
Yeah.
And it hurts if you hit it.
Right.
Yeah. She made a face like it did hurt, and so I was kind of worried, but she also said that it felt good.
Yeah, and of course you didn't slow you down any.
Right.
So anyway, you kind of work it out with her a little bit. Sometimes that means her uterus is sort of flipped backwards a little bit and can kind of...
There's different positions.
Yeah, try different things with her and maybe not going quite so deep. Or maybe that's what she wants. Some women do
like it. Some women like it.
Yeah, so this is John. What's up, John?
Hey, how's it going? Wow, I actually got on.
Sure enough.
Hey, my question is, my girlfriend got into a serious car wreck about 3 weeks ago. Yeah. She cracked a few ribs, broke her face in a couple places. She ruptured her spleen and collapsed both lungs. But
oh my gosh,
doing okay, and that's the main thing. mainly, my question was I'm taking care of her like a princess, like she should be taken care of. But I was wondering how long it would take before we could start resuming intimate activities.
I love this back, guys. I love it. So she's rib fracture, pneumothoraces, ruptured spleen, pelvis is fractured. So anyway, I'm taking care of her. So how long can I have sex with her? How long? How many days? How many hours?
Hey, Drew, it's a little worse tonight than most nights, though, isn't it?
it's comical.
It is comical, but it's a little worse tonight.
In terms of guys?
Yeah, I mean, it seems like all the guys are coming out just to show what pigs we are.
I'm not saying guys are pigs, by the way. I'm really not. I'm just... No, no. They're on a set of a quite a slightly different set of motivational priorities. And I think to judge them for it is actually wrong.
Motivational priority.
Yes. I think the judgment is wrong. When I use the word like lame, I don't mean it to be negative. I mean, we really need and deserve help and guidance and things, and they're under the influence of this hormone. And it's comical. It's cute. Anderson.
It's cute that his girlfriend's face is broken and all he can think about is when he can get his wiener in her mouth next. It's not cute at all. That's pretty bad, Drew. No, I don't think
the way you think about it isn't cute. I was thinking about it a little differently, but now that you put it that way, you're right. I'm disgusted. I'm disgusted with all of you. But John, dude, what if her surgeons told you?
Well,
I imagine it's going to be 6 weeks or so. Right?
They said 6 weeks before her healed, but I wanted to make sure I want to make sure she's okay before we do anything like that again.
I'm guessing it'd be about 6 weeks, but some of it's going to depend upon how she heals. And I'm assuming she's out of the hospital already. And you can talk to the surgeons, talk to the guys that are actually taking care of her, and take guidance. It's okay to ask those questions. I mean, it's important to ask those questions and not just jump ahead with that
stuff.
And
the first time to go very slow and gentle, loving. Yeah, right.
You've heard about what these guys are into. Mahalia.
Yeah?
Is that right?
Yes.
All right, what's up? You're on with Shayna Mokler from Meet the Barkers.
Hi.
Hi.
Well, I have a boyfriend who is a former pimp. And I guess prostitute girls. And I just wanted to know, if that's something you could be addicted to.
Yes. Yes. I'm not sure I'd even look at that as addiction.
That's a lifestyle.
That's a lifestyle. that's a commitment.
Yeah.
That's a way of, that's a.
You said it.
That's
a commitment.
Yeah. It's a way of interacting with the world. It's criminal. It's being a criminal.
He stopped, but I was just wondering if, he could get back into it.
Oh yes, I have no doubt that he can, and I'm worried that you think it's an okay thing to be with that guy. If I don't know, I've not really dealt with people with that heritage to know what the sort of natural history is of them getting out of it. What are the signs and the earmarks of somebody actually committing themselves to getting out? Assuming he'll have to have a good job and have be committed and to create a life and really be committed to being out, just the way someone would have to be committed to getting out of any sort of compulsive spiral that they're in, I guess. So, I don't know. We got to take a break. Mahalia, it's a little more than I can handle at the end of the show. So, Shane and I are going to come back in just a second. So, we'll be right back.
Love Line will be right back.
Love Line on the world.
Well, that about does it yet again for another Love Line episode. We have Fred Durst in here much of next week and Jada Pinkett Smith after that, and a big lineup for the rest of the month. Shayna Mokler, Meet the Barkers. Thank you, Shayna, for coming on in.
Thank you so much for having me.
Come back soon.
I had a lot of fun. Thank you.
Yeah, you should. Forget that Travis guy. You don't need him. You don't need to travel with him. Oh. I'll have him separately, too. Maybe. I don't know if you think it's all right.
You're sweet.
But thank you for joining us. And everyone, check out Meet the Barkers. And until I see you all next time, this is Dr. Drew saying good night and stay well.
I can't sleep with a guy because it makes me throw up on them.
This has been Loveline. Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Annie Golden. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.